Hello, and welcome to episode 206 of the Book Course Pod. We are... I know. Every time. It's whatever. We are reading Eye of Darkness by George Mann. We're discussing chapters 15 through 29. This sure is a piece of literature that got published by a major house.
Some of us named Kate are reading Eye of Darkness by George Mann against their will.
I have a lot of feelings about this man's prose style, which I will not get into at this very moment, because then it will become the whole podcast. What happened?
This man's prose.
Yeah. What are we drinking? I just have tea because I am a low energy motherfucker. Work is a nightmare right now, and has been since the beginning of the month, and it will continue until like past my birthday next month. So
you should be drinking that tea, is what I'm hearing.
I've had like two migraines in the past 2 weeks. I don't.
I cannot help with that. Okay, I will allow the tea.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. We are doing a lot of other things that are extremely legal in Colorado on the weekend, though. So that's fine. What you got, Burb?
I am not drinking tea. I am drinking beer. Because work has also been a nightmare for like months now. And it's almost fiscal year end in Oregon. Oh, no. And all of my clients at work are on that timeline. So I'm not going to work. I'm going to be fine now. But in like 2 or 3 weeks, I will be drinking a lot more beers after hours.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I have the aforementioned beer. It is, unsurprisingly, from our friends down at Breakside here in Portland. I am drinking a tropical pale, and I was told to elongate this section, so I pulled up the description. I will not read all of it, because it's like paragraphs.
What do you mean paragraphs?
I went to the website, and this just like...
What the fuck?
There's a lot happening.
Why does this beer have its own like fucking biography?
Let me see if there's anything on it. Ugh.
Just
some shitty AI art. Okay. It's a tropical pale, so it's a pale ale. It's 6.1%, and it's got like some really good flavor profiles. It's not like bitter or anything, but it's real strong on obviously the tropical fruit. The ones highlighted here are pineapple, guava, and tangerine. It is very good. It is one of my favorite beers that they do, and Breakside pretty much only does good beers, so we are enjoying.
Man, I've certainly never had a bad beer when I visited, so.
Yeah.
Devin, what do you have?
I finally refilled my stock of non-alcoholic wines, so I'm drinking a Cabernet Sauvignon, or however you want to say that, and that's fun.
You nailed
also,
it!
I have a fun little story that I'm not going to remember perfectly because I was really, really high when it happened. But
it seems right.
I mean, that's when all my fun little stories happen.
I think I don't remember what I got frustrated about. I think it was something that I was watching with a couple friends, and I decided that I was just going to start mixing. I think it was like Coca-Cola and red wine, and it turns out it's the best goddamn drink I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah,
I've heard
awesome.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a Coke person, but like, so I haven't tried it, but I've heard it's actually delicious.
Yeah,
it's really good. Do you know what's better? You can't get the same effect that you can like in Europe, but you can get close enough, because like in Europe, they're like lemonade is like lemon lime Fanta, kind of like it's somewhere between like a Sprite and a lemonade, and do that with wine.
Okay,
you can do red or white, they're both very good. In Portugal, you can buy it pre-made, like in little
oh my
cans.
God. That's brilliant.
Tinto di Verano is the red version.
I'm so excited about this. I'm going to get real wine for this. Hell yeah. Thank you, Verb.
Yeah, it's big in Spain and in Portugal.
All right, then.
Would recommend. I've done it here with Sprite, and it's been like close enough.
Nice. I'll do it and report back to y'all.
Please do.
What if you do it with McDonald's Sprite, though?
Then you'll die.
You will see through time.
Right, I was going to say, you will actually see God.
You're going to see the time knife. That's what's going to happen.
I think that's just astral projection, sir. I don't know what to...
Oh, man. That's true, though. Chris, do you even have anything?
I am drinking water because I went for a run.
Hell.
Gross.
Yeah, it's bad decision.
Have you considered a beer?
I mean, it would have been a better choice, for sure.
I read once, like, 10, 15 years ago, that, like, it's actually good to have a beer after a workout, and I'm like, I'm not going to question this.
I have actually heard that. It may still be apocryphal, but I have heard it.
That's why I always have a beer after.
I mean, if you're drinking a dark beer, it has all the nutrients you need to live.
I was going
to
say...
The temperature dropped a little bit yesterday, so it was like in the 70s instead of in like the 90s. And I did get like a little, I went to Breakside after the gym, and they have their Black Swift Stout on, which is kind of like a really easy drinking, like 6%er. So I got all my nutrients.
There you go.
I love that for you.
No.
Again, we are vamping the fuck out of this intro, because this is a very plot heavy section. Like stuff happened.
I mean, it was, but it also wasn't. Like, yeah, nothing happened.
I mean, we'll get to that. But you wanted story time about your daughter, so.
No, you wanted story time about our daughter, but.
Well, you were about to explain it, and then I was like,
yeah. So
because you love talking.
Why do you think he has a podcast?
True, but that's fine.
Okay, wow. That's... No fucking comment.
Yeah, so Flix is the best girl, the birthday girl, yesterday. And also got a grass seed stuck in her ear to the point where she had to go to the ER and get sedated for them to get it out.
Because she goes out back and she just sticks her head in dirt. Just straight up sticks it in dirt. It was so far in there that, like, if you checked in there, you couldn't see it. And then when the doctor checked in there, she had to dig around a little bit to be able to find it. Which, like, I assume this dog is 10 pounds. Like, I assume there's only so much ear canal she can possibly have. Nonetheless, rummaging around in her ear happened. And so, yeah. So yeah, that's, you know, out of our two dogs, like, as if you've been listening for a while, Orca's the one who has like the most chronic health conditions out of like any fucking living creature ever. And Flix is like perfectly happy, healthy, bouncy, whatever. But she gets weird problems. So there's this, and then that time her butthole fell out. So you know,
about that
these
one.
Are both things that have happened.
Yep.
To be sure.
Yep.
So. Yeah, that was our weekend.
And if you're...
I was like, what do you want to do this weekend? And then Flix just comes in yelping.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, guess I know what we're doing today.
Literally that. Also, if you're like, what do you mean her butthole fell out? I'm telling you, it's what it sounds like, her butthole fell out.
there's not really a better way to explain
it. Yeah, it was so much fun. We took her to the vet and they put it back. And that was that.
I feel like that's probably gonna be the title. I
don't know. Have we not talked about that on pod before?
I feel like we have to. Maybe we didn't tell the story.
Oh, I don't know.
Or is that an off-pod conversation?
Maybe an off-pod conversation.
Okay. Which, I don't know why we decided to do that. It's such a delightful story.
Right. Truly.
This
Man,
is...
imagine dealing with human children.
Oh my god, this is why we have so many listeners. I was just talking to my friend whose 3-year old just won't stop falling out of bed and hitting his head on the bed, the bookshelf next to his bed, the floor, like any old thing, like on his way down. And I'm just like, oh god, he's probably got a TBI. I don't know.
Kids are made of rubber at that age. They just bounce back up.
Maybe have a TBI, like.
I absolutely got my head stuck in like a chair once when I was that age.
That is the most you thing I've ever heard in my life.
And apparently my parents, or I don't know where my dad was, but my mom was there, and she and her friend were laughing too hard to come help me.
That's right. That would be me as a parent. I would just be crying.
Oh, I was screaming.
Oh, I'm like, sure.
What are you gonna do? That's hilarious.
That's what I would do if Fritz ever got her head stuck in a chair.
I mean, I feel like she has almost gotten her head stuck in a chair.
Probably. We don't really have chairs with holes in them.
At other people's houses, but yeah, okay. Oh Lord. All right. I'm gonna speaking of everything is hard right now. So our cause for this book is Vote Writers. You can find them at voteriders.org. Their mission is to eliminate ID barriers to the ballot box so every eligible voter can cast a vote that counts. So they do a lot of informing communities about ID laws, equipping partner organizations to expand voting access, advocating for pro-voter policies, and providing free one-on-one help to individuals to secure an accepted form of ID to vote. So please throw your money at them. And if you are like me and you have no fucking money right now, they have many, many volunteer opportunities, including virtual ones where you don't have to talk to people, which I know is very important. Too many, including myself. So, Listen, we love text banking. You just hit the button and take them off the list if they cuss you out. That's great. That's all.
Primary season's a fucking nightmare.
Oh my gosh, it's yeah. Also, if you still have a primary coming up, you have a general coming up, please go out there and vote. If they are allowing you to, because everything is on fire, and yeah, primary season already is a fucking nightmare. I'm just sitting here staring at my Colorado ballot and just being like, every choice is horrible and I hate everything. There's just so many old white men and I want them to go away.
If either Michael Bennett or Phil Weiser is listening, you both fucking suck. I don't know how you can like live in like the year of our Lord 2026 and be this bland, but here we fucking are, man. They're just
a lot of lukewarm takes and yeah, milquetoast talking points.
I was literally gonna say positively milquetoast.
That's the only way to describe it. It's real bad.
Congressional primary is interesting.
It's true. One in a row.
If you have any Denver people who are listening and this airs before June 30th, vote for Malott.
Yay. I also might be banging on your door at some point, you know, whatever, it's fine.
In the middle of the night.
Yes, yeah, just to clear you. Yeah. Definitely that, not...
About the voting saying. Thing, or are you trying to make a friend?
Yes.
Sorry.
Really just looking for copper wire.
I got a hankering. For valuable metals.
Yo, I keep seeing all these tweets about, like, I'm so excited to tell all the crack addicts in my neighborhood about all the valuable metals that exist in data centers. And I'm just like, let's go.
Honestly, genius.
It's not wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm so smart.
That one tweet that keeps circulating about, like, how much, like, copper and wire and stuff are in, like, flock cameras is my favorite thing of all time.
Yep. Yeah, it's what? You can make, like, $1,000 a day or something? It's crazy.
That's actually kind of bananas. Anyway, we've never...
There's, like, silver in those bitches.
This has never been Encouraging Crimes Pod.
crime, for legal reasons, crime is bad.
Listen, prosecutors need to prove they listen to us first, and nobody listens to this, so.
It's true.
Three people listen to we know of three people who listen to this, to be fair.
And that's,
we appreciate all three of our listeners.
Also sorry. Anyway. Okay, so this fucking book. we read like I think the first quarter of it, and then we put it down for a little bit because everybody was like traveling or finishing their semester or having a mental breakdown or any combination thereof. So it's been a while since we were reading this. And I honestly can't tell if I forgot how bad the writing was or it got progressively worse.
Why not both?
Yeah, that's, yep. So
I don't know that it got worse, but it didn't get better.
No, it got worse. It got worse. Trust me. Before I get into that. So there's plot happening, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. He's like he used 100 pages to move things along when I would have taken about 20, so which is incredible to me. It's just like, wow, you just wrote a book.
There are a lot of things that happened and somehow nothing has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I just want people, nobody who I work with knows about this pod, so I feel like I'm pretty safe. But I was doing the reading today while watching the Dodgers day game during work hours, and I feel like I got 100% of what was going on.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just to recap, the last bit that we read ended with them executing poor Jedi Grandpa Man in the most horrific way possible, which, like, Jesus Christ, what a bleak thing to, like, end on. I was thinking about that for a while, and then I read this.
Welcome. Oh, was that not, like, halfway through the last section, or do I just not remember this? Because it's been, like, 87 years.
Towards-ish the end-ish of that last section. Okay. Cool. And then, yeah, this section is a whole lot of both the prose and the plot and the characters just spinning their fucking wheels, I guess. IDK. Just like,
hey, that's not fair to say. Porter Engel went from one place on the planet to another place on the planet.
He killed some fuckers on the way.
He killed 5 people.
Honestly, that was a better chapter than a lot of the other fucking chapters. Yeah, yeah, you know,
something fucking happened.
Elzar had a bunch of conversations in which he was.
Elzar had several angsts.
Angry.
Angstuses.
So that's special. I feel like we can very quickly talk about where everybody's at right now. I wanted
quickly because it took George Mann like 100 pages to do it.
Holy smokes. I am sure he's a lovely man. Like just like a very nice human being. And also, this is not my cup of tea. It's clearly somebody else's. Good for you that you didn't suffer while putting your eyeballs on this as I did. All right.
I'll never really understand why he writes middle grade and then they gave him the adult book.
Yeah, that's a choice. Honestly, and it's like one of those things where it's like, I've seen other middle grade written that also wasn't like that. Which also was better. Alright. I wanted to start by talking about Gyarostaros because you're in danger, girl. I think there's a couple of ways we could read her just absolutely fucking fumbling her life. just gambling it with this extremely dangerous motherfucker who's just like growing increasingly tired of her being like, we need a government. He doesn't fucking care about a government. He cares about doing pirate shit, stupid. So I'm like,
she really is out here fucking Schoolhouse Rocking to pirates.
Like, like, I can't tell if she is too smart for her own good and thinks that she can, like, handle Markian, or if she's been bamboozled by Dick, or, like, or something else happening. I just, like, I don't know quite how she can do it. Yeah.
I think that she thinks so highly of herself,
mm-hmm,
that, like, she can fuck him into believing her.
Hmm.
And I don't understand how people operate as a concept because of the aforementioned autism. I certainly don't understand how, like, I assume she is straight, but I'll expand this to anybody who has sex with men. I don't think that's how that works.
I think that's a good assumption.
But I think that's what she thinks she can do.
Yeah, that's kind of where I've landed too. Like, I, like, have gone back and forth, like, if we're supposed to read her as, like, she's smart, but she's in over her head. Or if we're supposed to read her as she thinks that she is way smarter than she actually is. And I think it's that. Like,
I think it's that. There's the one section where she literally was like, we're on the winning side. She's like, why doesn't my child understand this, that I won? I just tried to soften this man up by having sex with him, and now he won't listen to my ideas about how we should establish diplomatic relations with the people he's trying to kill.
Now, why doesn't my child, who is missing and I haven't looked for and I haven't cared about in like a literal year, why doesn't she understand? She could be dead. Why didn't she understand?
But like, she, like, I don't know, because like, she was portrayed as being fairly with it in phase one.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we did not see a ton of her, but like, she, you know, she was portrayed as being very powerful.
She felt savvy too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was savvy.
In her own environment, though.
I feel like it's almost, and I don't know how intentional this was, but I do feel like there's a certain parallel to like American politics right now, where like, you
is she
like
Mitch McConnell?
So sad, huh?
Is she Mitch McConnell?
Oh my god, she's a turtle.
Honestly, kind of like, like, she thinks she's so savvy. She's like, I know every single way to manipulate these rules, and I am going to be able to control everything. And then like, Markian or Trump or whoever just walks in and is like, wrong. And like, you keep trying to be like, no, that's not how it works, and they're like, wrong. Like, and like, and they just like keep yelling, and you can't do anything about it. And it's at that point that you realize that pieces of paper can't actually help enforce anything.
Yay.
No, they have no power.
No, they have no power if nobody gives them power. And I feel like that's kind of where Gira's at.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at when it's like, with like, extremely savvy at moving within like her natural environment, which is the Coruscant politicking, and you take her out of that, and then you tell her there's no rules, and she's just like, I do not know how to behave, which we've all been there, but like, usually not at the expense of like getting shredded by some hot man's very sharp teeth. Like,
I do think too that part of it is like, she, because she was so good at that, she was very savvy in organizing, and she's like, ooh, I'm so good at this. Who am I? And like, that's her, like, she's very self-confident, which I love for her. I had most of this thought earlier, but then y'all kept talking and I was listening instead of thinking of my thought. But it is along the lines of like, she was so confident and savvy when like that was happening, and she was doing whatever fuck shit she was doing with the Republican phase one, which was 84 years ago, so I don't remember.
True.
But like, when shit hit the fan, she was like, I can still do this. And it's like you said, Kate, like, no. You're out of your element, babe.
Like, she is like very much out here like telling herself that she's playing like four-dimensional chess. And then she like makes a move, and then Markian just like fucking kicks the board over and shatters it.
Okay, but Markian also, like, Marta Rowe kind of invented four-dimensional chess, so, like, that's part of the problem.
Did she?
I don't like. Well,
bitch.
I think
Lana was playing checkers poorly and just like the other person dropped dead.
I think Marta was like, but you promised me that I could take this checkers piece. And then she got mad and she also kicked over the board.
But the row, well, I say that because Marta's whole thing, you know, as we read in that short story, is she wanted to leave a legacy. This has been generations of row family just sitting around and plotting about how they were going to kill the Jedi.
That part is fair.
I'm not saying she was good at four-dimensional chess. I'm saying she did a thing.
That's fair. I would say the Rose are more strategic than tactical, and they kind of don't give a shit about tactics. And
what's the difference?
Oh, my friend.
No, really, this is a real question.
Strategery
is what you were about to say.
Which one is strategery?
To me, at least, let me know if others feel differently, but strategic is overarching goal and like long-term big steps. Yeah. How do you get there? Tactics is like the incremental small things that you do in the margins to make it happen. So like strategy is to keep with the political analogy.
Convincing white people to vote against their own interests.
Yeah, like the strategy is like, I'm going to, get, you know, fucking assholes elected, and it's going to mean that I don't pay taxes, and that's how I'm going to not pay taxes. The tactics is we're going to tell white people that black people are stealing all their money through welfare, and then they're going to be fucking beholden to us for generations, and it's going to become a whole thing where they'll just do whatever we tell them to do because they're that fucking stupid.
But the point again, for real,
Ronald Reagan ruins the time for everybody.
Oh my god, tell me about it. I'm pulling up the dictionary for real because I'm like,
I will say, when I was a kid,
I don't think goals and strategy are the same thing, which is basically what you said. So,
I will say, when I was a kid, I was very much like, oh my god, my mom's so annoying. Everything in the world can't possibly be Ronald Reagan's fault. And the older I get, the more I really do realize that pretty much everything in the world is Ronald Reagan's fault.
My ma grew up in Ronald Reagan's like boyhood hometown. So I had a very different relationship with Reagan as a kid. We were like, oh yeah. And then I like grew up and learned what he was actually about. And I was like, oh, I don't know about all this, man.
I will say, as I look over her shoulder at her screen, dictionary.com is agreeing with me, even if I didn't word it perfectly.
You didn't do it right, but...
Dictionary.com is not telling me I'm wrong.
This is also... Furthermore, this is not...
My example may...
Pedestrian-ass dictionary.com. This is Merriam-Webster's website. Fuck you.
And they're telling me I'm right.
You uncultured
both
swine. Merriam-Webster
are telling me that I'm right.
To that point, I'm so mad that I can't remember the specifics of it, but there's a part of this section where somebody was talking about the Nile, about how they have discipline, but not, it's not control. What is that fucking phrase? Order. They don't have order, but they have discipline. And it's like, they'll do what they think is the right thing, and they'll focus on their goals. It's not going to be what you tell them to do.
And that's historically like an extremely powerful combination if you can harness it, like in both Star Wars but also in like the real world. Like, you look at all throughout history of how these like great empires have fallen, and it's due to like forces that don't have a lot of order. They're very chaotic, but they have a lot of discipline to get the job done if they hate you enough.
Do I not get my Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines blah blah as the moment?
Go for it.
All right. Strategy: a careful plan or method for achieving a particular goal, usually over a long period of time. Art of devising or employing plans or methods toward a goal. In war, the science and art of employing the political, economic, psychological, and military forces of a nation or group of nations to provide the maximum support of adopted policies in peace or war, which is where it overlaps a little bit with tactics. I think it's those are probably closer together than you necessarily suggest, but tactics is the science and art of disposing and maneuvering forces in combat. Art or skill of employing available means to accomplish an end. So.
Yeah, so in that in the military metaphor,
like, I will split hairs over semantics, as everyone knows.
if they don't know by now, they've had 205 episodes to learn.
We're still married.
But yeah, like to go with the military metaphor, like the strategy is, I am going to take these key points on the battlefield and thereby win the battle. The tactics is, I am going to split my forces into X many groups. They're going to approach from these different directions. We're going to shell with mortars first, then we're going to rush in with infantry, whatever.
Is this how we invented SMART goals? I don't know what the fuck you expected from me. You're so mad. The way you just looks like you want to die is really good right now. That's what it is, though, right? Right? Right?
Not answering that question.
Right? Yeah, all right.
Not dignifying that with a response.
I'm right, though, right? Anyway, you were saying something before I decided to read from the dictionary.
No, it's fine. No, but like, I feel like we're pretty much on the same page. Like, Gira does not... So we were talking about Gira, right? Like, she does
yes,
not...
Yes.
She doesn't have a good grasp, I feel like, on either tactics or strategy at this point. Like, I feel like her strategy is, like, I am going to increase my portfolio as Minister of Information or whatever the fuck she titled herself.
Not portfolio. She's just brushing up her resume out here. Oh,
I mean,
God.
That's how she, that's
no,
what
I,
she thinks.
I know. That's why she has SMART goals.
Timely. Don't get murdered. Today. But also, like, tactically, she's like, every sentence that she utters, she's like, I might die. But also, like, I feel like in her head, she's like, I'm not going to die. I'm too smart to die. And in fact, I don't think that's true.
Womp womp. Great. Other people who are stupid enough to die. Elzar's just out here being sad and angry forever and ever.
I think horny.
Oh, so horny. He's just like...
All the time.
The way he's like in a fucking elevator just being like, I wonder if Eivor would like my beard. I just wanted to reach through the book and hit him very hard. Like, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? During the first episode, I said I opened up to chapter one and I was like, oh, Jesus, it's Elzar right away. So, like, I go put the book down for several weeks, come back, open the book up to start reading for this section, be like, oh, Jesus, it's Elzar right away.
I just love that, like... God. In the middle of him trying to get the Jedi Council to, like, do whatever fuck shit he wants, he's like, we gotta attack this invisible thing and kill lots and lots of people to try to do something. Do you think she thinks I'm cute? This is the biggest meeting of my life. Do you think she likes my beard?
I fucking cannot. I just...
Listen, who among us didn't walk into a final exam actually thinking about whether their crush was into them?
This man is like 37 years old!
I mean... I get it. I don't approve of it. I get it because I am just some guy. I am not a goddamn Jedi.
Yeah.
I am not in charge of, like, saving the galaxy. I'm just trying to get through, like, I don't know, trivia, I guess?
See, honestly, it's really funny. I had like another, I had a different joke for this, but like, it's honestly really funny that you say that, because as people who have lived in Washington, D.C., I feel like we
don't recommend.
All do not, 0 out of 10. Oh, do not recommend. I feel like we've all had that experience of like meeting the people who are like literally writing the laws, and they're fucking morons.
They're so stupid. They're like, so stupid.
They're literally like the last place trivia team at your local Irish bar.
Oh man. Not to mention just stereotypical, like that dude we knew in undergrad who went on to like be an aide on the Hill and fucked his intern. And that's how he got fired.
Oh, I knew a guy in college who was the reason that DC Leaks got like Michelle Obama's passport photo at the 2016 national convention, and that also got a frat on campus shut down because he's a fucking idiot. But he thinks very highly of himself.
Oh, I'm sure he fucking does.
Can I introduce you to my good friend Gara Staros?
So like, anyway, I don't feel like Elzar is actually supposed to be like the everyman and relatable in that sense. But it is funny because like, as a society, we do like lionize all these people who do XYZ. And it's like, you know, like we do it to doctors, we do it to people who like do legislation, maybe not so much anymore with the political stuff, but like we used to. And we do it to, again, cops maybe back in the day. And then you actually like fucking meet these people.
Oh, and teachers.
All teachers, yep.
Teachers when you're a kid.
The fucking worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who was I? I don't know. I was talking to you, Kate, about someone the other day, and it was like, and that's why I don't trust doctors, because it's like somebody who we know who's really stupid who's a doctor, and I honestly don't remember who we were talking about at this point, but.
I only trust 2 doctors, and that's because I know that. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, personally, like, honest to God. Every time I walk out of, like, I don't know, whatever doctor I have here, I'm just, like, texting my best friend, like, is this legit? Okay, just making sure. Also, she works in the emergency room, so she's literally seen everything. It's just, it's wild times.
Also, the other thing I was going to say is, you know who is stupid enough to die? Stone Geos.
Like Elzar's just walking around with like what would Stellan do on his shirts, and I'm just like, I need you to stop. I need you to stop, dude. Like,
it's like, Elzar, you're not actually supposed to ask that out loud every time. Like, you can say it inside once in a while.
I think he said it like 5 times during that meeting with the council. No. All right. Speaking of the plot not moving along like at all, I just. Elzar has this meeting where he's just like, what if we went and attacked the Stormwall? And they say no, and that's the end of it, and that could have been one page, but sure, whatever, let's keep writing. Bell and Briag are out here just doing fucking search and rescue shit. Nothing really interesting. Listen, happened.
At least someone's doing something in this book.
No, it's true, and also this...
That's
this,
some teenagers still, like...
This could have been a fucking email, though, dude. Like, I don't know.
Yo, Burry went into that fucking burning building, and I was like, I swear to God, if you kill him this time.
I need that poor being to stop catching himself on fire. I'm like, dude, you know you're, like, covered in fluff, right? I think you're just not.
He needs to invest in some sort of flame retardant.
Invest in flame. Just, like, get a good, heat protectant spray, like, before you curl your hair.
Oh, I was just gonna say, get some better Jedi robes. You can get like a little
that too, yeah,
a little suit or something.
That's true.
Just like John,
that's breathable
suits.
Still.
I was actually thinking about Jedi Master Flubber and his fucking containment suit. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs one of those.
Also
you know. I was stunned to see that Yoda still. I don't know why I was stunned, because Yoda loves making a bad decision, but Yoda still dragging around this homicidal mummy for real. I was like, he just blew up a whole town over there. Like, what do you mean you're still feeding him?
I love what I found. Is so sick of Yoda at this point.
And I just love this. Aslan Rel is just every opportunity. He's like, what if I take off my glasses and creep you all out with my eye sockets? Like, what the fuck?
I will say, With regards to the Jedi Council, like, what are you gonna do? You know Yoda is gonna outlast all of you.
It's true.
You can try to stop him for now, but he's got this fuck-ass mummy that's gonna be alive for another 200 years. Fuck-ass
mummy. Yoda has such CEO, like, absentee CEO energy. It's unbelievable. Jeez, it's like, you didn't come to a meeting on this project for a year. And yet
Yoda is in charge of a startup.
Like, what if, and hear me out, we just listen to this crazy dude and throw our plans out the window.
Yoda is the tech CEO who thinks he's gonna, like, what if we did, like, an Uber, but, like, it's got a set route, and you can get on and off whenever you want.
Have we thought about how we can leverage blockchain when it comes to fighting the Nameless?
We'll just use AI.
Done. I love it. Ship it.
We can get rid of so many Jedi if we just use AI. All those Padawans, don't eat them. We're good.
They will be fed to the machine.
What AI can do the work of like 10, 15 Jedi?
That's why Anakin killed all the younglings, am I right?
Fucking AI.
Is it?
AI killed the younglings.
Efficient management.
Was it in Snowpiercer or an episode of Doctor Who where they feed the little kids to the machine?
Snowpiercer. And that keeps...
Yeah, that was Snowpiercer? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing that with the Padawans.
Yeah, you know.
Wait.
I mean, they're not feeding it, but like...
I was gonna say, no, that's not Snowpiercer.
It's like...
They use the little kids to, like, get into the crawl space, but, like...
Oh, so maybe it's Doctor Who.
I think it's Doctor Who.
Anyway, if you haven't seen Snowpiercer, my bad. Anywho. At the same time, I love the Jedi sitting around and being inactive, like, what are we going to do about this? I don't know.
They're just talking and talking and talking. Like, Elzar's like, can we do this? And like, one, no, stupid fucking idea. You're going to kill so many people. And, like, I do kind of get where they're coming from, but the Jedi Council, as we have fucking seen through every goddamn phase of their existence that we have access to as consumers of media, they're like, what if we sit here and talk about it for a while? We're really doing all that we can. And it's like, oh, speaking of political metaphors, it's a goddamn Democratic Party. We're doing all we can.
I was going to say, there's a lot of committee meetings happening.
We had a meeting about it.
It is interesting though, because like on the one hand they do have big "we've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas" energy, but also like there isn't actually a lot they can do in this situation with the information that we/they have access to right now. Because like they have told us why we can't actually destroy the Stormwall, and Elzar went through that whole fucking thought experiment, which was big, as you know, Bob, energy.
Oh my God.
But like about why you can't just like shoot the Stormwall, why you can't just launch the nuke into the hurricane. And like they actually don't have a lot. Like Lena So's like, I am going to launch a Republic fleet, and I'm like, where?
It's a bad idea. Listen, I don't disagree with that. Like, there's not really a lot they can do. You know, like, because what are they going to fucking do? But it's the resistance to any idea that gets me. Like, listen, we just saw the mummy blow up a city, apparently, at some point in things we've read that I don't remember, but that got mentioned in the book and also here.
It was a comic, so that's why you don't remember.
Okay, that sounds right.
Sorry, Dad, as usual.
Yoda came home like, look what I brought. And they're like, we actually said no after this mummy blew up a city. And the mummy's like, I have ideas. And they're like,
Your last idea was blowing up a city. Can't emphasize that enough.
Also, I can't emphasize enough that they sent baby Wreath back to the library.
I mean, to be fair, baby Wreath probably sent himself back to the library.
I mean, yeah, but it's like...
He volunteered for that.
Talk about going back to square fucking one. Wreath can do all this cool shit now, and it's just like, I'm gonna go back to the library.
You know, the aforementioned autism. it's the resistance to everything, which, like, again, there are fair points as to why they're saying no to things here, but it's just something that we see literally across every era, where it's like, aren't you supposed to be, like, the best and the brightest?
I mean, it's an interesting, and I feel like it, like, it's like this in, like, real life, too, where people have very different opinions about what they want people in power to do in these, like, no-win situations. Like, do you want them to, like, think, like, not waste resources doing things that obviously won't work? Or do you want them to just, like, be seen trying something even though we all know it's not going to work? And I feel, I do feel like that's actually, like, a real thing that people, like, argue about in real life. Like, in,
sure,
again, in politics, like, I mean, the Democratic Party is long ago past the point of you are actually useless. But, like, that used to be, like, an actual thing. It's like, why aren't you, like, doing more, like, introducing random shit that will never get passed? And it's like, because that's, like, that's time that gets wasted and it's meaningless. So, like, it's not a perfect metaphor for today, but it used to be a, like, a thing that people would argue about.
Hooray.
Remember to vote in your primaries.
Remember to vote in your primaries.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of trying things and they're not working, here's Avar again. This is, I feel like her bits were actually kind of the most interesting to me, just because, like, we're just tearing apart her entire fucking identity, and it is so delicious. Like, my favorite part of this so far, which is going to sound kind of fucked up, but when she makes that grain shipment, she's like, I did a good thing. Here's my good deed for the day. I can feel good about myself. I'm a real Jedi. Da, da, da. And the lady's like, all right, so when's the next one coming? And she's like, what? And she's like, you know, this is going to feed people for, like, 2 fucking weeks, because it is one medium-sized hauler full of grain, and we have many people on the whole fucking planet that is being blockaded. And she's just like, oh my God, logistics?
She's Avar's an in-the-moment kind of girly. She always has been.
It's weird watching her learn in real time that she cannot girl boss her way to victory.
I mean, it's true, though. I will give this to George Mann. This was a smart move to have it be specifically a grain shipment after what she's able to do in Light of the Jedi, with saving Hetzel and it being, like, the breadbasket of the galaxy, etc. And now she is like, here's 2 boxes of grain, this is the best I can fucking do, please don't look at me. Like, I felt like those bits, at least plot and character development wise, were well done. In other ways, not so well done.
I did really like one thing about that, about her plot line too, when she was like talking to the people on the planet and they were like, oh, actually we're kind of like a religious thing. And so first of all, I was like, the path. And they're like, actually, she's like ready. She's like, okay, like thinking on the spot, well, can you plant some of the grain? Like, I can still help. And they're like, we actually picked this planet because you can't really grow things or else it'll kill all of us. And also, we're morally opposed to planting things.
This is Cult Wars Pod.
As always.
Which one? Fucking wild. I have so many thoughts and opinions on that we do not need to get into, mostly because they're not formed. But Avar is just like, huh.
I want to know. I don't actually need to know this. This is like, people on the internet would be like, I want a whole Disney Plus series about this cult. I do not actually need to know any of this.
I actually think we need a whole series of movies about Darth Vader.
Oh my God, my life's been so much better since getting off Star Wars Twitter. But like, I do want to know, what are they like how pre-Nile, how do they survive? Because, like, they don't plant. Presumably, if you don't want to fuck up the environment, that extends to industry.
They so, had like, a trade system trade going on.
With? Say again?
They had some kind of trade system going on.
Well, like, what do they trade with? They have no way to acquire raw materials.
I think
maybe they pick up rocks.
Maybe they do. Chris, I don't understand. Again, like Avar, logistics? What do you want logistics for?
So while it was really funny to watch Avar fail, and I agree with Kate. I actually really like this bit of development for Avar. I think it makes her a much more interesting character. But while it was really funny to watch her fail, I did kind of feel for her when she's just like, well, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, at that point, okay, like, honestly, I was gonna say I don't want to shit on whatever. I'm gonna shit on it. Just fucking plant the grain, man.
You're gonna die. No skin off you're my fucking nose at this point.
Jesus fucking Christ. Listen,
you
I
know
feel
what's
like...
better than not fucking planting on this planet you live on? Living.
Listen, man. I feel like we could have a lot... Are we getting into, like, philosophical discussions about this, like, super fake religion that's even faker than, like, Jedi shit? Like, this is super fake. Like, we could be like, actually, if you plant grain, you're contributing to nitrogen fixing the soil, so you're improving the environment. Like, we could talk about this all fucking day. I understand that grain is not legumes. Nobody come at me. But... but, yeah. Don't...
Everybody come at Kate for not being a farmer.
Fuck off. Oh, that yeah. time I had to explain to somebody that
Kate
farming
from
is complicated.
The fucking Bronx isn't a farmer.
Classic coastal elitist.
Y'all, the Knicks win basketball. Wasn't that crazy?
That actually is possibly the most unbelievable thing to happen.
It's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy the Knicks won basketball, guys.
And so, they put Elmo's head on a spike.
Yes. We don't grease the poles in New York, but we probably should. It's fine. It was fine. Barb, I see you added this bit about Shrike, who's gay for her boss.
I just thought that was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if I was supposed to clock, like, in the first section or, like, her first chapter in this section that she was, like, dressing up like her boss until she got to, like, the internal monologue where, like, everybody thinks I'm too into her. And then at the end, her boss is like, I'm flattered, but, like, you gotta change your style, babe. This is weird.
All right, so... I
was gonna say, Kate, we will give you now 5 minutes uninterrupted to talk about the writing.
Holy fucking shit. All right, listen. Like, I also enjoyed that, and also was just like, I would love for you to do anything besides... bad like dialogue, like that's just like it's just so much explaining. It's just every page I'm just reading, it's like exposition is happening for sure in this book. I like there are no descriptions of things really. Like clothing would be helpful to know about. More descriptions of people's appearances, and I point this out because I get dinged for this all the time, but also body language, because there's so many fucking adverbs, and I'm like, you could also just let people's dialogue speak for themselves. It's like, you're not great at writing dialogue, so you can't do that. Yes, Burb.
This is a philosophical question. Would you rather have this or only descriptions?
Both make me want to shoot myself in the head, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm-hmm.
The classic okay, but like J.R.R. Tolkien conundrum.
Yeah, gun to your same gun to your head. Which one?
Oh my god! I mean, I guess this because I've only gone through the first chapter of Lord of the Rings, like Fellowship. I've only gone through the first chapter of Fellowship. At least I'm reading this, and just like reek with them a little bit. Holy smokes! It was like deeply distracting. How just like. Corny, contrived, forced, and just the prose was just it's like dropping a brick. in like into like barren dirt. Like I was just like, wow. Like I just like, there's no virtuosity to this. I'm not convinced that you have written you think for a guy who's written a whole lot of books that he would have a better command of language. That's not happening. People keep hiring to write things and I'm very confused. I just like, and again, I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy, but oh my god, it's just like, why are people explaining to each other stuff that they already fucking know? Why are we taking whole pages for people to have epiphanies that like are just like extremely like that are just absolutely unearned? I just like, I want to kill myself. It's great. I hate this man's writing. I hate it so much.
It is, you touched on something that I also really, I'm somewhat ambivalent to George Mann's writing.
How?
I
was irritated the entire time. I was like, I had to read things over and over again because I kept getting so distracted by how shitty the sentence structure was. Okay?
I mean, that's fair. I have lower standards. But one thing that did like annoy me that you touched on is like, people keep explaining things to each other over and over again. Like, it's like the Netflix rule where they like tell all their writers that like, nobody's actually watching this. They're all on their phones. So you need to restate the plot every 5 minutes. And I feel like every chapter, they restate everything we know about that character so far. It's like Gira's like, I'm in danger, but he's so attractive, but I'm still in danger. But we need rules every single chapter. Elzar, I feel so guilty, but I want to do things, but we can't do things. And it makes me mad every single time.
Yes,
being like, ah, yes, Porter Engel, who I know from my younger days. Porter Engel being like, ah, yes, General V.S., who I know from my younger days. Like, it is a lot.
And also, like, I don't know, there are just moments where it's just like, you know, Ava really needed this grain shipment to be a win for her. And I'm like, yeah, no shit, we get it. Like, she's fucking depressed and she feels useless. I got that from her running around telling people she feels useless because you had to make her externalize all her these characters have no fucking, like, proper interiority. It's like fucking crazy. They don't have actually like I don't fucking know. Like there's something deeply unnatural about how they like think through things that I don't fucking understand. I've seen children's shows that do this better than this fucking book. I just, holy fucking shit.
The conversation between Elzar and Kevin was the actual Kevin was somewhat ironic because Kevin was literally like, we've already explained this to you several times. And it's like, I know, because I was here as the reader every time you explained it to him.
I will say I've mostly been fine with the writing, just like Chris, deeply ambivalent. Because I can get taken out by writing, and it hasn't happened to me a ton here. Except for the part where they kept italicizing half of the shit Kevin was saying about, like, I understand. We've tried things. And I'm like,
and again, this is the crush of a bad writer's guys, formatting. Just like, ooh, look at the font I use, so now you can tell that they're thinking of papyrus. Like, fuck me.
Kevin's a picture of an ass motherfucker.
She's like, oh, have you tried everything that's been said every chapter? And now it's in italics, so I pay attention.
Deeply fucking exasperated by this.
I don't think
writing.
This man has feelings. Kevin is a one-dimensional character who is just there for not even plot development. What's the word I'm looking for? To reiterate all the shit we already know.
Exposition, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, this whole book is fucking exposition. And
exposition, thank you.
Yes. An expository dialogue, like, holy fucking shit, that's the whole book. Like, I'm not, I just like, all these people are flat as fuck. I don't appreciate as a reader being treated like a fucking idiot. And like, I you know, let me fucking infer or glean or, you know, understand any, like, you know, let me enjoy like a pretty sentence, like, you know, just like a flourish. There's nothing like that. It's just an info dump.
Okay, but you say, don't treat me the reader like an idiot. You gotta understand, this is written for Star Wars fans.
Yeah, Claudia Gray also writes for Star Wars fans.
I know. Let me get my dig in, goddammit. I wanted to make a joke. On that note,
I do want to
touch on whoever put "Someone tell me why there's so many goddamn characters." Yeah,
why are there so many fucking characters? It's too. Listen. I like it when we have the books that have like a number of characters, and you get to like see a couple of different opinions on things. There were like 6 to 7 different points of view in this. And beyond that, we have the other people around them. In this section alone, we had Elzar, we had Eivor, we had Porter, we had that fuck-ass reporter, who I do actually like. We had Gira, Markion was there. We had fucking Lena So, we had Belle, we had Buri, we had the fuck-ass Shrike and her boss she's gay for. That's too many.
This is something that I agree with, and I think it's rapidly at this point in the writing becoming an issue with the High Republic. Like, I think phase one was much tighter, and then we got to phase two, and it was a whole bunch of different characters. And I've gone over my kind of issues with phase two at length, and I'm not going to reiterate them here. But there was a lot of superfluous characters in phase two, and now we're in phase three, and we have to keep track of everybody who didn't die from phase one, which is actually most of them. And also everybody new that they want to bring in, because you can't just have old characters, because you need to make it like interesting, which I don't inherently disagree with that, but it's just a lot of characters.
Sure. Yeah. But my thing is, you can have all of these characters. That's how being a person works. That's what like a whole universe is like. But you
one
can't
in a row
have
for George, man. But yeah, go on.
You can't have all of them be like your POV characters. Like, you gotta take a couple of them, tighten that shit up, and tell the story.
And it's ironic, because that's generally what you would like, having your characters that like are just there for plot. Is like generally how you would like work more characters in and like have them do things like exposition and things like that, except every character's doing that.
Yeah, like the reporter, like I said, I really like her as a character. I think she is a good person to have as somebody we see the story through. We don't need everybody. So we don't need Markion and Garrus Staros.
And VS, and Baron Boolin, and Shrike.
Dude, I didn't even get to the secret fucking messages like the reporter's been sending out, because I was so fucking distracted by how mad I was about the prose, okay? This is how bad it is to me. It's fine, we just have half this fucking book to read still.
I feel like, now that I'm thinking about this a lot... Something that we saw at the end of phase one was the way that they kind of dealt with the fall of the Starlight Beacon. We got everybody's actions around it. We got all their stories around it. That was spread out over like a lot of shit. Why couldn't we do like a book that's inside the Stormcloud and a book that is outside the Stormcloud? I mean, I understand why, because you do want both perspectives, but that's what they did in fucking phase one. Why aren't we doing it here? This book could have been an email. It also could have been two different books.
They're going very, very broad with it. And
that doesn't make a good story.
Yeah, I do think it's...
That's the point of having a whole High Republic, like... overarching series. It's the broad view.
This one of all of the like mainline books that we've read so far reads the most like a Wikipedia article.
And I love Wikipedia articles. I was thinking about that a couple minutes ago. I was like, I love exposition. I love to read shit, but not in a book.
I was gonna say, like, that's not a narrative. That's just...
Yeah, I want to read exposition when I want to read exposition. This is a book. Something should be happening.
what is this? The Ahsoka episodes of The Mandalorian?
I was gonna say the Phasma book where they're just
holy fucking shit. Don't get me started. He's going straight to the bottom with Delilah Dawson. I swear to God, I've had it.
Yo, I like to see posts on the Star Wars books Reddit sometimes, and every time somebody is like posts anything about the Phasma book, I'm just like, I like a little part of me dies every time somebody new discovers that book. Anyway, on that note, to episode 206 Book Wars Pod. Next episode, we're going to be continuing with Kate's favorite book, The Eye of Darkness.
I would rather read the fucking book about Luke eating the fucking noodles or whatever the hell fucking shit you were telling me about that one time. Anyway,
I mean, that can be arranged. That book does exist. See, now that you said that, I'm going to make you read it, and then we're going to make you report on which one was worse.
Great. I love a book report.
You famously, went to college and grad school for them, so. next week, we're reading chapters 30 through 49.
I also love getting divorced.
If you have the means, first and foremost, donate to our divorce legal fund. Secondly, donate to Vote Riders at voteriders.org. And then, after all that, donate to the Tasha Station Radio Patreon, as it helps us cover our hosting and production costs. You can also give us coffee. And doing that helps keep Argos, Blue, Flix, Magenta, Merly, Orca, and Tony fed and sheltered, throughout these tough times.
Also, medical emergencies such as buttholes falling out.
And or grass in here. It's like a big-ass foxtail. It's like it's a whole fucking... Worst part is... This has happened to my dogs in the past. Like, when I was growing up, one of my dogs got a foxtail up his nose, and he also had to have fucking surgery to get it out.
Did his butthole fall out?
His butthole did not fall out, famously. So really what I'm saying is the lawns are terrible and grass is the worst, just overall. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Paddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joe Butera Design, and our audio and production are done by soon-to-be doctor producer Devin Keys. From all of us, Kate, Devin, Miranda, Rana, the aforementioned animal children, thank you for listening. I'm Chris. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, part of the fun is the friction.